I was going to say, please sit down, but you seem to have anticipated my request. Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
And a very warm welcome to you all, including those listening at home. If we have any visitors, please make yourselves known to us. There will be tea and coffee after this morning service, so please do come and join us for further fellowship. It would be really nice to see you all. For those of you listening at home or elsewhere, the service is being led by Robert and Jeff is playing the organ. Our reader this morning is David Ledbetter. Again, due to IT issues, there was no electronic work version of weekly news, so do pick one up at the back of the church if you haven't done so already. I'd just like to reiterate what's in weekly news about the tea and chat we had last Tuesday, partly to celebrate Nancy's 100th birthday. I think it was a joyous occasion, and I would like to give thanks to all those people who helped, who made scones, and particularly to Janet, who made the cake. We've just heard that Mark Barrett's mother died Friday, peacefully in her sleep. Our prayers go to Mark and his family at this time. I will now light the Christ candle, and we will have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship.
Good morning and welcome. The team is certainly strengthening. Jeff and I haven't been together for about 3 months and a couple of weeks, so it's good to see you all. And I'm sorry it's raining, but it was raining yesterday and 2 days ago. I just want to know if anybody's forgotten a clothes peg here on the pulpit, or is this a subtle sign sent to my return to Emmanuel? I'm going to take it that somebody has forgotten. You know that not even a clothes peg will make me close my mouth earlier than what you're expecting. Sorry, I didn't hear. Psalm 85. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. God will bring peace to his people. Amen. We will be using the two hymn books today, Rejoice and Sing, first and last, Sing Praise, second and third. So let us begin singing, O Worship the King. It is hymn 47 from Rejoice and Sing. We will omit verse 2 and verse 6. Omitting verse 2 and 6 from hymn 47.
Thank you.
Prayer gives us the time to find ourselves, connect with God, and share the time with each other as we bring our desires, our thoughts, our troubles, our frustrations, and all that we are before God. Let us pray, and at the end of the prayer we will join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Loving and caring God, over the centuries, your people have given you many names, many ways of addressing you, as they were experiencing the different things of life. Times of fear, times of uncertainty, times of triumph, and in each case, they turn to you. We live in a completely different world from theirs in so many different ways, and we turn to you as they did. The Lord of faithfulness, the one who hears, the one who gives us the time we need, forgiving and loving. We meet you in Jesus, who is the example of the life we should be trying to lead. In the ordinary and everyday, in the simple things of life. As we will hear in the reading, you are in the boat with us. You have also known what it is to be tossed by the storms of life. You are the one that reaches out to us when we are at our lowest. You are the one that invites us to lift our eyes. You are the one we turn to. And we give you thanks for the calm and the peace that we often find when we open our hearts and our life to you. We worship you. We sing your praises. We can do nothing else than to thank you. And each and every one of us here today quite probably has a long list of things that we would like to say to you. Loving God, hear our prayer of thanksgiving. Help our eyes to see and our heart to recognize what goes on around us where you are there. And then we look around and we see you, sometimes frightening and sometimes the source of peace. And we recognize that we are frail, vulnerable. We recognize the fact of the times that we have chosen to ignore your closeness. Forgive us and help us. When your voice is drowned out by the noise and busyness of the world, over the times we are tempted to follow the voices of others who seem to promise us the solution to all our needs. Forgive us if we don't try and recognize you in the middle of so much that goes on. When we look for you in the good and holy people, but fail to see you in those who make us uncomfortable. when it is so easy to label others, but we get so cross when we are labeled. Forgive us. Forgive us, O Lord, when we feel disappointed, not in the disappointment, but in trying to keep it to ourselves and in the world around us. Forgive those who, having been elected to lead and improve the lives of the people, then abuse power granted and live only for friends and donors. That is not the way this world will come closer to you. Forgive us for that we think only we know and would prefer to forget. We bring it to you in this silence. O Lord, reassure us with your love. Surround us with the warmth of your grace. Your present forgiveness. Of the many names, we call you the kind and gentle God, who seeks us where we are, who runs to embrace us, and celebrates the encounter. To you be the glory, now and always. Amen. And we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And at this time of the service, we share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. And while the offering has been taken, I will light the peace candle. Wonderful. I wanted to skip up and down the aisle while it was going on. Thank you, God, for all that we receive, the material, but also what we receive through friendship, for blessings, through comfort, through you being there for us and those that surround us. And we dedicate the offering so that it may serve that which you show us, how it can reach out. What is in the plate and what we give in different ways. To you be the honor and glory. Amen. And let us share the words of the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 14, reading verses 22 to 33. And this is when, following the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus and the disciples go down to the stormy lake. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught him, saying to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, David, for leading us in the reading. And from Sing Praise now, we respond to the reading as we reflect on what we have just heard. In hymn 125, we turn to Christ anew, who hear his call today, his way to walk, his will pursue, his word obey. Lord of living waters, you save us from the flood of violence and despair. Reach out to us when faith is weak, when we are going under, and make us unafraid to walk with you. Through Jesus Christ, in whom we are raised. Amen. The passage that David read for us this morning is an exceedingly well-known passage. But I fear we often overlook an important part of that passage, particularly the part that challenges us. It's great when we're reading about Peter and the disciples, and I say this applies to most biblical texts. But the question then is, where are we in this story? By the time we've reached this moment in the gospel, Jesus has performed many miracles. He's healed the centurion's servant. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law. He stilled a storm. He's healed the Gadarene and the man with paralysis. He has restored life and healed a woman, healed a man with a withered hand. When we see all this and realize in one go, this is what comes before we've reached this passage, we realize that Jesus is not keeping miracles to a small group of people. The generosity of grace is abundant and reaches those who we would not even consider worthy. And they lived in a world where it was so easy to categorize those who were worthy and who were unworthy. Those we connected to and those we didn't. Oh, sorry. It's not much different today, is it? Everybody seems to have a list of those we consider worthy or unworthy. And just before the narrative today, as David introduced, is the feeding of the 5,000 men. Great title. But the reading adds at the end that there were women and children, so we really don't have a clue of how many people were fed. If each man brought at least one other person, that would make it 10,000. If they brought two people, let's say the man bringing partner and one child, we have 15,000 people. But we always say it's the feeding of the 5,000. That makes it more astounding, I'm saying. I mean, I'm not minimizing it. On the contrary, I'm enhancing it. I guess that within such a crowd, there would have been all sorts of people. People we like, people we dislike, the good, the bad, the ugly, the worthy and the unworthy. Come on, in a crowd of 100, that happens. Can you imagine in a crowd of 5,000, in a crowd of 15,000, we could make one massive list of those. Think of the tube in London at rush hour, and that's bad enough. You're pushed with the smelly, those who step on your toes, those who push through, those who elbow their way to the empty seat, which you thought you were going to get because you're entitled to it. It's all that sort of reality. It's been an exhausting day. Cater for, let's put it mildly, 15,000 people. Tuesday was fun, but can you imagine if instead of the 40, 45 we were, suddenly 15,000 people entered the door of the church to sit down to celebrate Nancy's birthday? That would have been quite some celebration. We would have lost Nancy in the crowd. As it said, she's the shortest person of Emmanuel. So with 15,000 people, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Look for the balloon. That's all I would have said. Look for the balloon and we would have found Nancy. But interestingly enough, within the first sentence of the reading, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. It was interesting that the better reading of that is, he pressures the disciples to get into the boat. It's sort of, come on, in. And the disciples go on ahead to the other side of the lake. He dismisses the crowds and seeks time to be on his own. We can, I think, understand why. In the passage today, you will find many at times, many references to moments on being alone. Not only alone, but surrounded by those elements that fill us with fear. The lake, the proverbial sign of chaos. The storm, to add to it, the darkness, the being far from land. If you want to read it and stop wherever you find the inclination of being alone, you realize how many times you've stopped. All this fills them with terror. And then to make matters worse, they see the ghost. Their words, not mine. He's walking towards them, walking on the stormy waters. I've got a few copies of this painting, if anybody wants it. You can't even guess what it looks like from where you're sitting. When I go at the back, there are a few copies there. This is a painting from the Methodist Modern Art Collection that Mark took me to see in Bristol a few weeks before I went away on sabbatical. And it's called Walking on Water. And suddenly, here, right, the only vertical line in all the horizontal, you have a figure in white. But it could be the waves going up, but it's called Walking on Water. It is fantastic. This woman, Maggie Hamlin, every Good Friday paints a painting on walking on water. And this is one that the Methodist Art Collection has. And as soon as I saw it, I didn't know I'd be preaching on this at any time soon. I said, this I want to share. So there are a few copies. If you want to take one home, you're invited to take it home. He's walking on water, a ghost in the middle of the storm. I mean, all that is negative, frightening, something they would rather not see. And then they hear the voice with the reassuring words, "It is I, do not be afraid." And any Hebrew scholar would know that that replicates the words that Moses hears with the burning bush that also frightened him to death. Well, not exactly to death, but you know. I am who I am. I am. Having been brought up in the Church of Scotland tradition, the burning bush is the symbol of the Church of Scotland. That's as far as it gets sometimes, I feel. This is a miracle we usually focus. Jesus walking on water. But there is another one that we'll come back to in a few moments. Now it's Peter's turn to speak. Hold on tight, get ready, because you know when Peter speaks, something amazing is going to happen. Peter's words really, really sound more like, I'm wetting your ear. Temptation. If it is you, call me to come to you on the waters. Now, is that how Peter is going to measure his faith? By walking on water. Since Peter's time, we have all the discoveries of science and all that saying, Jesus might, he's done many things. Peter, you weigh a bit too much for this. Be ready. But we hold our breath, and only one word is pronounced, come. A sort of, if you're really wanting to leave the boat, your friends, those that are there with you, okay, get out. You asked for it. You asked for it. Come on. And this is when Peter gets out of the boat. And let's be honest, he does walk a few steps on water. Probably never more alone in his life than at that moment when he starts looking around. And he says to himself, literally as a prayer, "Oh God, what have I done? What follows from here?" Even in a short time, he does walk, but fear takes hold, and he begins to sink. And if we're dead honest with ourselves, we often feel we are sinking when fear surrounds us and we fear we're on our own. Nobody to turn to. I'm not surprised by Jesus walking in water because of all that he's done so far. Why wouldn't he walk on water? I mean, in the Gospel of John, he turned water into wine. I mean, take your pick. Walking on water wouldn't be that surprising. What surprises me is Peter. Is this the miracle we're overlooking? Because he too walks on water. Or is walking on water a temptation to his individualism? He can get back and say, "Ha ha, I did something you can't. I walked on water." He begins to sink and calls out for help. And help arrives in the outstretched hand and a question. "You asked for this. Why did you doubt?" Both get into the boat. Community is restored. And the storm stops. And recognition takes place. You are the Son of God. Why? Why this scene? We have witnessed wonders many times before. What is different this time? Could it be that it's something that happens to you? You walk. You called out. The ultimate risk is not to walk on water. Let's leave that to Jesus. Do we really think that Jesus is asking us to prove our faith by walking on water? I believe that the great miracle here is recognizing that our task, not walking on water, but rather affirming community. It's when Jesus takes Peter from sinking back into the boat. But even then, our doubts take over. And if we're honest with ourselves, so many times our doubts are based not on what has happened, but what we fear might happen. Take it from somebody who every morning has their anxiety pill. And the day I don't take it, the fear of what might happen increases. And then I realized, don't forget to take your pill. Nothing that you worried about really did happen. Did you enjoy worrying about it? Heavens, no, I didn't. It reminds me of my humanity, or the most doubting part of my humanity. And I think here is where it links to faith. Faith not always gives us certainty. Rather, it is an invitation to try and live and grow in trust and fellowship. On the faith journey, we will fear. We will face disappointments. It will seem that we are being swallowed up by the storm and we want to get out of it. We call for a hand to reach out, and it will come often in the most surprising of ways, in the most unexpected of situations. But shouldn't we ask ourselves, if the greatest miracle is to stay in the boat during the storm rather than trying to walk on water? Hasn't God given us the capacity to stay with people around us? Often a difficult task rather than trying to walk on water. How many will walk on water? One, two. How many will sink? Probably all. How many, in times of difficulty, will choose to stay with community, uplifting, in solidarity, in love, in hope, working together, calling out together, we are not alone. This, I believe, is the overlooked miracle of this story. Not when Peter comes out of the boat, which has its merit, even though it lasts a few seconds, but when he gets back into the boat with Jesus and they recognize what has happened. I don't think we will be called to walk on water. I think we are being called in the world of today to live in a different way. In a time of individualism, secularism, fear for the future, as church we are called to live a spirituality of togetherness. And this way we offer the alternative of love, of care, of hope. We are not alone because we live in the grace of God, who didn't only pick Peter out of the water, but said, let's get back into the boat and be together. I think if we are given the opportunity, let's stay in the boat. Let's stay in the boat and offer an alternative to the life as it is today. Life in faith is not acts of individualism, of selfishness. It's the act of togetherness, of building community. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, 257 from Sing Praise. We sing your praise, eternal God, to whom all praise belongs, but we can never match your love, however loud our songs. This hymn I've chosen intentionally because last week, Alan Gaunt, the author of this hymn, died. He was one of the big hymn writers the United Reformed Church had. And we've sung his hymns many times. In Rejoice and Sing, there are 18 hymns which he's had a hand in either writing or adapting or translating. This is another one. Alan Gaunt's hymn, We Sing Your Praise, Eternal God, to whom all praise belongs.
Thank you.
when all the service was ready for this week, a friend of mine back in Argentina, a colleague, and I've known him for many, many years, he's a poet, a minister, poet, prepares liturgies. He put up on Facebook a poem, and I wrote back and I said to him, can I translate it into English, please? And then three other people said, please do, please do, please do. One from the States, one from Germany, and I can't remember where the other one was. So I did translate it into English, trying to keep a sense of poetry, because it's called Faith is Not Walking on Water. If you find any coincidences, the sermon was written before this appeared. It's written in the light of Matthew 14:31. Peter, did you truly believe that faith was walking on the waters of that lake? Did you really think that the teacher was interested in such a useless and unnecessary faith? What contribution to humanity would it be that a legion of women and men walked on the waters of lakes, seas, or rivers? You sunk because you really didn't grasp that Jesus' call was the calling to a faith that manifests in the boat's community, in the trusting and prayerful waiting of those who know how to resist, and never, ever in an isolated salvation. You sunk because you doubted the one who said, I'm here, do not fear, keep up your spirits. You sunk because seeing the waves and the wind, you believed it was safer to be out of the boat, forgetting that in the boat were your friends, your family, your journey mates. Your faith would have expressed itself fully and truly in that boat, staying close to your gathered community, trusting the teacher's soon arrival, ignoring those horrendous words, if it is you. Whoever believes that faith demands aquatic walks or any other such ridiculous demand has completely lost the center of what gospel spirituality is about. The wind, the waves lose their power. Calm comes and all is serene when the community is complete, including the teacher on the same boat. Whenever we doubt, remind us, Brother Peter, that wanting salvation in isolation will certainly end up with us sinking. I may send that, Steve, for the putting up on the website as well. Remind us, Peter, that if we want to save ourselves in isolation, we may end up just all sinking. Let us pray. Our prayers of intercession for this morning. We want to thank you, dear God, for the ministry of the United Reformed Church that week after week provides guidelines for worship and for prayer, and for these prayers of intercession for today. We pray for those who find themselves tossed about by all that life throws at them, those who feel out of control and don't know which way to turn. We pray for those who find themselves with an unexpected challenge, those who have much asked of them and feel overwhelmed. We pray for those who find themselves overtaken by events, those who feel dejected and at loss. And wherever we stand on the issue, by many people in small boats like the one Peter was in, crossing on stormy seas, trying to reach a place different from the hell they left. We remember the people in Maui, a small island a paradise in many ways, with over 50 people dead, so much destroyed. Where do they go? We pray for those who feel that living their life away from others is the best option, forgetting that you call us to be members of a body. And in that body, no part is less important than others. We remember those who feel that they are the important part of life, that they are what makes the body, that they are the ones that make sense. And yet Jesus reminds us that he never forgets those who feel they are nothing. As he fed the multitude, cured a woman that was too afraid to make herself known, brought back to life a little girl, reminded those around of their human dignity. We pray for those who have left home, family, friends, for reasons not of their making, and who face rejection and hatred. We pray for those who find themselves searching for what they do not know, those who feel that there must be more to life than mere existence. We pray for our families and friends and loved ones, those that are nearby, those that are far away, those we can celebrate, those we remember with deep affection, those we miss. We pray for those who have lost loved ones in the process of living with an absence. We pray for those who dedicate time and effort to improving the lives of others in hospitals, in community centers, in food banks, in every place where people are reminded that they are important and loved. We pray for confused disciples and perplexed prophets, those who strive to be faithful and serve you, only to be surprised by grace. We pray for your church, which is much greater than what we think of our church. We pray for the partnership of churches. We pray for your church in the world. And we pray for all those, no matter how they call themselves, who in this world proclaim love. To you, O Lord, we bring our prayer for ourselves and for your people. And in this moment of silence, that prayer which is so close to our heart that only you know. We turn to you. We praise your name. We stretch out our hand. We let you lead us back into the boat and recognize there with those in the boat already, truly, you are the presence of love from God in our life. Amen. Our closing hymn. from Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 261, At the Name of Jesus. And the note was, we'll sing it to the modern tune. Wherever we are, wherever we go, however we feel, God will stretch out a hand and remind us that we aren't alone. We give thanks to God, and God sends us from this place today to live as part of the fellowship of God's children in the world, and for this gives us the blessing we need. Go with a peace that can only come from God, to love yourself and others, to love the mission we have received, and to grow in the sharing of peace. The peace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.